It's time at TalkZone for more world-changing leadership with Our Global Hope. Here again, your host, Dr. Henrik Mann.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Henrik Mann, and we're back with our special guest, author, speaker, consultant, and extraordinary entrepreneur, Joyce Bone. And I want to invite our listeners to find us on the web at ourglobalhope.com. And Joyce, we've been talking about some of the special challenges of being a millionaire mom. And I want to connect in more to some of the issues that have to do with leadership and with women finding their way with regards to money management. And I'd like to start with some of the lessons you're teaching your kids with regards to money management. You know, there's making money, there's saving money, and then there's giving money away and learning how to use money effectively. What are some of the lessons behind some of those categories that you want to share with your daughters or other people's kids?
Well, I have three boys, so it would have to be with the boys. But I do have four nieces that live a mile away. So, and so what the money lessons that I tend to impart are, I believe in tithing. I believe that money was meant to circulate for the greater good, and the tighter you hold on to it, it just seems to slip through your fingers. And somehow, by sharing it with society and with people in need, I don't know how to explain it, but I've seen it my whole life come back to you tenfold over. So, you know, it's, you give to get basically, and it makes you feel good along the way. So, I have that as one of my personal principles. And then, I believe in entrepreneurship. So my children, they've all been taught. They all know. They've all had their own little businesses already. You know, in the child format, one son sells every Friday. He does a neighborhood news and he distributes it and he charges a quarter a week to get a copy of his neighborhood news. And it's just for our street and it keeps people updated on the happenings of where we live. And, my oldest son is, when I owned a miniature golf course, he had some machines that were his that he, in our game room that he had to keep up. And so they know all about that. And I'm trying to think what else, what other money. I want them to see that you have to work for it. Yeah. It doesn't just grow, you know, it doesn't come out of the ATM machine. So, and that, yeah, you know, like I said earlier, just money just makes you more of who you are. So just have good grounding. Good moral value.
Let me ask you a little bit about asset protection and lawsuits. My understanding is that as people gain wealth, all of a sudden they become targets for lawsuits because people want to stand in line and get some of what you have. And I'm wondering just in general, are there some lessons that that you try to help people understand with regards to protecting themselves from unscrupulous people as they're growing up the ladder of success?
Well, the fact of the matter is people are going to do what people are going to do, but you can protect yourself that your business is incorporated. You should never be a sole proprietor because that really opens you up. I've always had LLCs or been incorporated, so I've used, you know, what's out there to protect our assets. And, you know, there's a whole methodology of protection that you can look into as you grow your businesses and they become more successful. But for the average person, at the bare minimum, set up an LLC or incorporate to protect, you know, your assets from people that are into frivolous lawsuits.
What are some of the challenges that you see for women entrepreneurs right now? I've understood that one of the biggest challenges is getting access to capital to grow their business. That many times women don't seem to be able to leverage other people's money to grow the business the way that they really need to grow the business. You have some insights for women on that?
Well, yes, this is interesting times to be raising money. It's not been an easy couple of years. When I raised money for my business, it was during the IPO, you know, the height of IPOs, and people were throwing money at you. So for me, it was relatively painless to raise $60 million. And now that would have been, that would be very, very hard to do in today's economy. So, to me, I always try to play to the trends and the timing. So I knew IPOs were hot. So I started my business saying, my exit strategy is to IPO within 2 years. And so I used that marketplace to my advantage. And then I got into real estate because I was on the initial stages of investing where, you know, times were good, and I got out when times were bad, and I learned to leverage. You know, for instance, I bought a house for $10. I wrote a check, $10 in earnest money. And then I put together a deal where I brought in an outside rehabber, somebody to fix the house up, and, you know, put it under contract with him, got him a very good deal, got the owner of the house set up exactly the way she wanted, and we closed the house. And by the end of the month, I had turned $10 into $10,000. So I say that just to show listeners that it's really about the gray matter between your ears. And, you know, some people say, oh, well, I don't have any money. Oh, it's easy for her to say that. She has money. Well, guess what? When I started out, I didn't have any money. I had $10,000 of our life savings. That was everything we had. And I put it into this business, and I went out and raised all that money. But most people would have just been like, I can't take a company public. I only have $10,000. How in the world am I going to do that? Well, I didn't worry about how-tos. I just worried about why I was doing it, and that was for my family, and I figured it out as I went. So getting back to today's marketplace, you know, look at what you're creating. If you haven't started your business, service businesses are typically the cheapest ones to start, depending on what you're doing. So, you know, try to come up with a model that works for you and your finances, and then get creative. I know a couple of moms that took their business plan and sent it to different CPAs in their town, figuring they'd know who their moneyed clients are that might have an appetite for their type of, you know, business. And sure enough, they both got funded. So there's a backdoor approach to getting funding that probably nobody listening to this call has ever thought about. Another way is I myself competed in a business plan competition that the state of Georgia put on last year, and the grand prize was $100,000 in cash with $200,000 in services. And while I did not win, I got into the top 13 out of 75 companies. And, you know, what if I'd won that? I mean, that would have been fantastic. I could have really used that cash to grow my business. But the point is, I personally did it just to kind of show people that, hey, here's an alternative way of getting funding. Go participate in business plan competitions. But most people just think, oh, I have to go to the bank to get, you know, funding. And that's just not always the case. And as a matter of fact, that's rarely the case. And, you know, there's so many different ways to raise capital. You know, friends and family is only going to go so far. So I encourage you to get creative, read books on it, ask people how they did it, you know, get curious. That's the biggest thing, is you have to be a curious person. You have to ask good questions if you want to be successful.
Well, I can't help but step away from being a host for just a second to say that, that I do help businesses with finding funding, usually $50 million on up, for their executive summary and business plan ventures. And so I certainly want to just mention that I'm in the fundraising game of soliciting, especially when it's related to commercial real estate. And I think that people don't realize that passion leads to finding resources. And I think that's what you've been sharing with our listeners, that when you're curious and when you're passionate, all of a sudden you do find solutions that might have eluded you otherwise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I've said several times, why are you doing it in the first place? Why? You know, have a good why. For me, I wanted to provide my children with top quality education. I wanted to be like my roommate in college, she had pictures of her family on exotic locations on vacation. I wanted to create that for my family. These are all things I didn't really have growing up. So I wanted to give that to my children and have them have, you know, a different experience than I had growing up. I had it hard. I worked all the time. So that was my driving why. And I keep a picture of my son in his uniform. He goes to this prestigious private school that I'm just so happy he's a part of. And if there's a phone call I need to make that I'm hesitant about, you know, like I'm a little shy or fearing rejection, that's less and less these days. I can tell you that much right now. But, you know, I do keep his picture there. If there's something I don't feel like doing, I do it. All I have to do is look at that picture and go, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and knock that out and take care of that because I really like the fact that my son's at that school.
Absolutely. Well, as we go into our third break, I want to remind listeners that we are enjoying a special interview with Joyce Bone, and so we're not offering our normal listener call-in line today. You can learn more about our show at www.ourglobalhope.com, and we'll be right back with our final segment with Joyce Bone for more world-changing leadership talk.